If you want to turn in your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, we're finishing out this chapter, looking at verses 36 through 41 here this morning. You know, the Bible doesn't gloss over conflict. Rather, it describes it often and gives ways in which we can learn from that conflict. Earlier in this chapter, you might remember, we saw how men met in Jerusalem to discuss the core doctrine of what constitutes true salvation. How one is declared righteous. We saw that one is declared righteous by faith in Christ alone. These men worked through this important topic and came to an agreement. But now, two of these men, Paul and Barnabas, struggle to work through a disagreement that they had on a personal preference. And so they need to work through this difference. And maybe we would even conclude at the end of this chapter, they didn't really work through it very well. But we'll even consider a few verses from later on in the New Testament of how God used it in their lives. So I'll invite you to follow along as I start in Acts 15 and verse 36. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are." Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he was traveling through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity that you've given to us today to look at your word. Lord, we know that there is conflict at different points in your word. Conflict between men that love you and desire to serve you, and yet they need to work through things. And so, Lord, we as well have seen this, most of us at least, in our own lives, where there's conflict within a church, and there's men that love you, women as well, that love you and have a desire to serve you faithfully, yet there's conflict. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us as we see this passage, as we consider the truths here. Lord, that you would help us to have a mindset that we would indeed love one another, that we would understand that although we differ at times and maybe some preference issues, we always have to do so with an attitude of love. And so, Lord, we ask that you would strengthen our hearts, encourage us in our unity with one another as we work through this passage here this morning. We thank you for what you'll do. In Christ's name, amen. We're somewhat familiar with Paul and Barnabas at this point. We've done some study in Acts, and then we went to Galatians, and so we're kind of familiar with these two guys. Some have described Paul as goal-oriented. And you could see Paul, he'd have a goal in mind, and he would say, there's nothing that's going to stand in my way to accomplish that goal. And then some call Barnabas people-oriented. He's all about ministering and encouraging people as he's going about his day. Probably a good balance between the two is best. And so some would say, you know, maybe that's kind of the conflict that's going on between these two men. Paul was so focused on the goal, and Barnabas was so focused on the person, and maybe Barnabas was even saying, Paul, the goal is the person, as he works through this situation. And so we're going to work through this and try to think how we can have that good balance and love for one another as we work through differences. And so starting in the first two verses, we see the concern for brothers in Christ. This passage starts with a burden that's placed on the heart of Paul to minister to the believers, specifically the ones that he met on his first missionary journey. He had a deep concern for them and their spiritual well-being. So his desire was to go back to each of those churches and visit with those believers. And so we see in verse 36, they had a desire to care for the brother. They wanted to care for him. This event is taking place after some time. Paul and Barnabas, if you remember, traveled to Jerusalem for the Jerusalem Council. We saw that 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I guess, in the first part of chapter 15. And then brought the written verdict back to the believers in Antioch. After that, we see recorded here in Scripture that they stayed in the church in Antioch and taught the Word of God, much like they did before and after the first missionary journey. And so they're spending time at what would be their sending church and encouraging the believers there. And so after some time, Paul determines that they should leave. We're not told exactly how much time, but some have suggested that they probably would have remained in Antioch at least over the winter, because traveling, especially in that culture and how traveling would have been during winter months, would not be that enjoyable. And so it would be rather difficult. So they would have probably stayed put at least for the winter months. And so with that in mind, it's safe to assume that this is going on for at least several months that they would have been there in the church in Antioch. That phrase, after some time, is used by Luke to communicate really a shift in the narrative and a new major section that's going to take place here. This is the case, of course, here as well, as it marks the beginning of Paul's second missionary journey. Paul wanted to revisit the churches from the first journey. He had a true missionary heart. He wanted to get back to the field and be active in these believers' lives. Lots of times when we talk with our missionaries, one of the things they'll say is, you know, I want to get back to the field. When they're home on furlough, they're like, you know, this is nice, and we're glad to visit the supporting churches and give updates, but we just want to get back to the field. We want to get back to ministering to these people that we so dearly love. That was Paul's heartbeat. They had proclaimed the word of the Lord, and these people responded in repentant faith. They acknowledged their sin. They knew that they needed the substitutionary work of Jesus. They were secure in their faith because God would not lose them. But Paul wanted to make sure they were thriving in their walk with the Lord. And so he wants to go back to them. He wanted to know that they were walking with the Spirit and they were growing in their faith. Notice his goal was to go to the believers that they met on the first missionary journey and to see how they are doing. He wanted to go to every city. He did not intend on going to new areas and starting new churches. But if you're at all familiar with Paul's second missionary journey, you realize God would direct him differently. He was not going to be able to go and do exactly what he was thinking. It seems that every city from the first trip probably was actually visited, but some would be by Paul and others by Barnabas. Paul's goal was to check in, see how they're doing. He was living out what he shared in Philippians 2:4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. He wanted to show concern. He was really desiring to be with them, to see them face to face. He wanted to see firsthand what was going on in their lives and see how he could help. His desire to serve people was genuine, as was the desire of Barnabas of serving people. They loved God. They loved people. They wanted to minister to people for the glory of God. Despite that, there's conflict between them. And so that was a struggle. We see verse 37, Barnabas considers John Mark useful. And so Barnabas wanted to take John Mark along with him. Remember, John Mark is his cousin. I think that probably factors into this at least a little. He no doubt would have had a special connection to John Mark since they're related. And he wanted to provide another opportunity for him to get some experience as a missionary. Remember, Barnabas was given his name by the apostles back in chapter 4 because it was descriptive of his character. He was one that sought to encourage others in whatever way that he could. He was willing to overlook that decision of John Mark to return home during the first missionary journey. Now, we're not told in Scripture why exactly John Mark decided to leave Paul and Barnabas and return home to Jerusalem. But as we see here in this passage, whatever it was causes a major disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. Now, as we even were going through that several chapters ago, back 6 months or so ago now, we talked about some potential reasons. And some of those options are given as Paul was now clearly the leader of the team. And we saw as they kind of went out on their first missionary journey, lots of times it was listed Barnabas and Paul. It switched to Paul and Barnabas. And so kind of he was the leader. And some suggest that maybe John Mark didn't like that. His cousin was no longer the leader of the team. And so maybe that was a problem. It's possible as well, another option, that the gospel was focused on the Gentiles, as we know that that was Paul's ministry, specifically to the Gentiles. And so that kind of was a shift, maybe, from what John Mark was thinking. And as a devout Jew, maybe he was a little uncomfortable with that. Some would say he was just simply afraid. It was a dangerous road through the mountains, and Paul was determined to go, and maybe John Mark said, you know, I just don't think this is a good idea. There is some evidence as well that Paul became quite ill in Perga, possibly with malaria. And maybe John Mark looked at that and said, you know, there's not a vaccine for this. I don't think this is a good idea. I'm just not going that direction. Some just say he was young, he was homesick, he wanted to get back to his mom. So obviously it could be any of those. It could be a combination of those things, but we really don't know. Barnabas did not see it as something that prevented him from traveling with them now as they seek to revisit the churches. It was natural, really, for Barnabas to say, let's take John Mark along. Why? Because he had been with them at least for part of that trip before. And so he would have known some of those people. Now, he must have come along with them when they returned from Jerusalem to Antioch, or possibly he came along later on. I think I mentioned it last week, I think possibly he returned on a trip with Silas, and that's why Silas would be back in town then. And so lots of different possibilities that Scripture just doesn't really tell us the details. But he was familiar with those churches. He was familiar with the people. For Barnabas, the past was in the past. And he considered John Mark to be useful. He possibly also looked at him and said, you know, this is going to be a good internship opportunity. How would he learn and be equipped for ministry if he was not given the opportunity to gain experience? You know, how many times have you applied for a job and they say you want X number of years of experience, and you say, okay, give me the experience. How do I get the experience if you don't give me the job? You know, a missionary church planter does not learn how to preach and make disciples by sitting in a classroom. They can learn a lot of things. I would say, you know, I went through many years of schooling, and I learned some things. But I think I probably learned more in the few years after that than I learned all those years of schooling. It's just how it works when you get in there and you're interacting with people. The experience of life is a great teacher. And Barnabas wanted John Mark to have that. He's saying, I know this is going to be helpful for him. He needs to be into that. Then we see in the next section, starting in verse 38, the conflict among brothers in Christ. The conflict. We see now a conflict that seems to come almost out of nowhere. Paul and Barnabas had served together in the church in Antioch. They traveled together throughout the Galatian region, starting churches. They traveled to Jerusalem to share how God had used them to bring Gentiles to faith in Christ. They returned to Antioch. They shared that news. They remained there teaching the word of God. These two men seemed to be almost inseparable. Yet a disagreement comes that causes them to go their separate ways. And so in verse 38, we see Paul challenges taking John Mark along. He was opposed to this idea. The text says that he kept insisting. This is a word that could be translated as consider worthy. Paul did not feel, at least at this time, that John Mark was worthy to go along with them. Now, I'm wondering if John Mark heard those words. Wouldn't that be kind of deflating as a young man wanting to serve God and somebody says, you're not worthy right now. This would have been kind of hard for him to hear. This was not a one-time conversation between Paul and Barnabas. It was happening repeatedly. It seems that maybe they've been discussing this for weeks, maybe even months, both trying to kind of sway the other one to their way of thinking. Paul's insistence was not totally unwarranted, but he had a specific reason that he felt the way he did. John Mark left them. That's what's stated here. That's why he has a hard problem with this. John Mark left them on the first trip, although we don't know why. But just the fact that he left them was the issue with Paul. He left them and he returned home to Jerusalem. He says that John Mark deserted them. And so, obviously, that's a much stronger word than he just left them. He had agreed to accompany Paul and Barnabas and likely was given tasks to perform that allowed them then to focus on the gospel ministry. He was probably involved in a lot of behind-the-scenes types of tasks that Paul knew to be vitally important to the ministry. Paul felt as though they had been abandoned. Now, we're not told the specifics, but it seems that Paul felt the extra burden of John Mark's leaving them, that was just too much. He probably was thinking, you know, it would have been better off if we had somebody else with us, because then when John Mark left, we're kind of out on the road, there's no one else around to help, and so it left a huge void. He wanted someone that was going to be more reliable, who would not turn around and go home when things got difficult. Paul did not consider John Mark's reason for leaving a legitimate reason. You know, if there was a reason that Paul felt was legitimate, I think he would have surely accepted John Mark back at this point. Maybe if there was some real huge family emergency, and that John Mark was needed back home. Maybe if it was something along those lines, Paul would have said, okay, I understand that type of situation. But for whatever reason, as Paul is looking at the situation that had happened, he said, I don't believe it was legitimate. We cannot know for sure why Paul was so adamant, but he was unwilling to budge. It is impossible from our limited vantage point to determine who was right. Because that's what we want to do. We look at this passage and we say, well, which one of these guys was right? Paul wanted someone who was going to be more trustworthy, more mature. But Barnabas wanted to be able to use this as a discipleship opportunity. Both men were right in what they wanted. They both wanted good things. They both wanted to bring glory to God. They were each convinced in their own mind that their way was how God would best be glorified. And we see the second, or the verse 39, then the first part of it, the men clash over John Mark. And so there's this clash between these two guys. While God uses sharp disagreement to establish two separate missionary teams, we want to make sure to understand that the way the things were handled between these two men was not the best. It just simply wasn't the best way. The word translated as sharp disagreement. It's only used one other time in the New Testament. And in that instance, it's used in a very positive light. It's used in Hebrews 10:24, where it says believers are to stir up one another to love and good works. So what's it saying here? Paul and Barnabas were stirring each other up. Do you think they were stirring each other up to love and good works? That's not the stirring up. That's not the agitating that was taking place here. They had fought for gospel clarity in many churches and in Jerusalem. They were unwilling to budge on clear doctrinal issues. That's a good thing. At the same time, they should have been able to work things out in this situation without the clearly heated tension between them. They should have had a really different situation described here, that they would have come to an understanding, even if it was, okay, I don't think this is great, we need to go separate directions. But here was an intense, unreconcilable difference of opinion. This is probably disturbing to us. These are two men that have been greatly used by God to spread the message of the gospel, to disciple new believers. If you were reading through the book of Acts for the very first time, if you knew nothing of their background, you would say, these guys are role models. These guys are, I look up to. How can they have such a heated argument? And why would God choose to include this in Scripture? Of course, like all of Scripture, God wants us to learn from it. And so all of Scripture, and no matter what we might feel about it, is for our benefit. One main thing to learn here is that these two men are human just like us. And especially Paul, with all that he has written of the New Testament, sometimes we can put him up on a pedestal. Sometimes we can think, you know, he never messed up. He didn't do anything wrong. Sometimes we as well do not handle situations the best. But God is still able to orchestrate events so that his will is accomplished and he gets the glory. And so we don't want to forget that as well. What took place in this heated discussion? No doubt both men brought every detail out, pointed to different scripture passages, drew out many principles from God's word, but neither was able to persuade the other. Now, I have no idea what scripture passages they might have come out. I think one commentator suggested that possibly Paul would have pointed to Proverbs 25:19, like a bad tooth and an unsteady foot is confidence in a faithless man in time of trouble. And so he might say, we had a time of trouble, and John Mark was not very faithful through that. His conclusion was that John Mark could not be trusted because of his past, at least at this point. Now, I think Barnabas very likely would have reminded Paul of the event that took place recorded in Acts chapter 9. Remember, Paul had been saved by the grace of God, returned to Jerusalem, wanting to join with the church to have interaction with them. What was the response? Everyone was afraid of him. They wanted to avoid him. Why? Because they knew his past. They knew something about his past, and they said, no, I don't want to have anything to do with you. Who was it that came along? It was Barnabas. Barnabas was the one that said, okay, Paul, let's go. I'll vouch for you. I'll stick up for you. Because that's the type of guy he was. He wanted to minister to people. He wanted to bring them along. But most people did not trust Paul at that point. They just didn't think they could trust him. These two men that had served alongside of one another just could not see eye to eye. And therefore, they separated from one another. So we see the last section, the conclusion for the cause of Christ. While there was disagreement, and no doubt hurt feelings, none of this surprised God. He knew this was going to happen. He knew exactly how all this was going to play out, and it was going to result in two separate missionary teams. even as we see the storyline as we continue into chapter 16, follow Paul and Silas, we will discover that God redirected them to where he wanted them. We learn a great principle here from all of this. God typically does not redirect the person that is sitting idle. If Paul and Barnabas were just sitting there idle, do you think God was going to really redirect them? They weren't looking at any direction, if that were the case. But they were looking to serve. God redirects those that are moving. Paul and Barnabas had great commission living in mind. And that was what they were going to do. As they remained faithful to God's command of discipleship, he was going to direct them to the next people he wanted them to disciple. We see the second part of verse 39 here. Barnabas chose John Mark. And so Barnabas took his cousin, John Mark, went to his hometown of Cyprus and ministered to the believers there. It appears that although Paul and Barnabas determined that it was not going to work out for them to travel together anymore, they wanted to make sure that they still visited with each of the churches they started on the first missionary journey. So they go kind of opposite directions, but they're keeping in mind all the churches that they started, making sure that they would cover each of them on their return trip here. Rather than double up their efforts, they determined going in different directions. They were in disagreement between the two of them. They must have saw the benefit of this approach, though, and having two teams and being able to cover more ground in a shorter amount of time. Of course, Barnabas would connect with those in Cyprus more than Paul because it was his hometown. Throughout the rest of the book of Acts, neither Barnabas nor John Mark are mentioned. We don't really know how their trip went or what type of ministry they were involved in. We do see Paul mentioning each of them at times in some of his letters. So I want to give some of these references and just let us think about how Paul looks to them. 1 Corinthians 9:6, Paul writes this, "Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working for a living?" And so obviously thinking of him as a partner in ministry. In Colossians 4:10, "Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him." And so he's saying here, welcome John Mark as he comes. And then I think one of the most powerful verses, 2 Timothy 4:11, "Luke alone is with me." And so Paul here is in prison. He's writing to Timothy, who's pastoring the church in Ephesus. Luke is with him. He says, "Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry." There was something that drastically changed. Because here in chapter 15 of Acts, Paul's saying he's basically not useful. Now he's saying he is very useful. And then Philemon 24, he says, "And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers." And so he classifies John Mark as a fellow worker. What we learn from these few excerpts is that Paul felt differently about John Mark later in ministry. Had Paul changed, or had John Mark changed? Maybe they both changed some over the years. Maybe there was more of Paul looking back and saying, you know, maybe I was a little harsh. Maybe I didn't see the potential there. Paul and Barnabas disagreed on how they should do ministry, but they did not totally cut ties with one another. They had ministered alongside one another, saw God do some amazing things. Although an argument from silence is not necessarily ironclad, I think it is important to note that we see nowhere in Scripture either Paul or Barnabas talking negatively about one another. We don't see that. Usually what happens in a situation when two believers disagree over preference and they go separate ways, what do? They tell everybody about it, don't they? They want everybody to know that they were right, the other person is wrong. we see nothing mentioned in Scripture. Even though they disagreed on the matter concerning John Mark, they were not going to allow that to affect their love for each other or their desire to serve God and bring Him glory. There was something that was more important. It is quite possible that it was a combination of Paul's rejection of John Mark at this point and Barnabas's acceptance that worked to develop him into a man that was indeed useful for ministry. Sometimes a rejection can be what motivates somebody. But yet, having a compassionate guide can be helpful as well. And so John Mark, in a sense, had both of those. And I think it really helped develop him. And then we see verses 40 and 41. Silas was commended by the brethren. And so Paul chose Silas to be his partner in the missionary work. He was a trusted leader from the church in Jerusalem. He had returned with Paul and Barnabas to Antioch to share the outcome of the Jerusalem council. He was a gifted man. Back in verse 32, he's described as a prophet. We will also see in the next chapter that he was a Roman citizen, which would be very helpful as he traveled through the areas with Paul. As Paul was going to the churches in the Galatian region reporting on the outcome of the Jerusalem council, it would be very helpful for him to have someone as a representative like Silas from the church in Jerusalem. He would be able to verify the message of the gospel that Paul was preaching as the gospel, same gospel message as that which was taught in the church in Jerusalem. It appears that the church in Antioch put their stamp of approval on Paul and Silas, but we're not given that same description about Barnabas and John Mark. Paul and Silas were committed by the brethren to go on this missionary trip. It was not just the leaders, but the entire church family, the brethren, were part of this. They were committed to praying for and trusting God to work through them. God knew that he was what he was doing and accomplished it even through a sharp disagreement between Paul and Barnabas. In 1 Peter 5, verses 12 and 13, we see that both Silas and John Mark are with Peter. And so kind of the second man in each of the teams is with Peter. It doesn't appear that there's any tension between them or tension between Paul and John Mark, as we saw earlier from 2 Timothy 4:11. Barnabas wanted to give John Mark another opportunity to be involved in the ministry, and he was right. Paul wanted someone he could depend on, who would remain faithful, even when times got tough. And he was right. Ultimately, two missionary teams were established. And so we see God was right. God was right in the outcome here, as he always is. It's interesting to note that there is no indication that they prayed and consulted God about their desire to revisit the churches. Now, I kind of think that they probably did, but we don't see that mentioned here. Could they have neglected to pray about this? And sometimes, you know, we pray and ask God's direction on doctrinal issues, but what about preferences, things that we might disagree with one another? Is it possible that if they did pray about this decision, God would have directed them to go separately as two different teams, but avoiding the sharp disagreement? Again, we don't really know that. Paul went to the churches to be an encouragement to them. The text says that he went to the churches through Syria and Cilicia. Now, these were not part of the churches that he and Barnabas were part of during the first missionary journey, but they are on the way traveling to the Galatian region. Cilicia was Paul's hometown province, so probably it's been suggested that these churches were started by Paul during the years that we often describe as the silent years, shortly after he came to faith in Christ. These predominantly Gentile churches had probably all heard similar teaching to that of the Judaizers back there in Galatians as we look through that. Paul's visit along with Silas would be to communicate to them the decision of the Jerusalem Council. He was reassuring these believers that justification is through faith in Christ alone. You know, working through differences is really a necessary part of church life. Why? Because we have sinful people that don't know everything. And so this is a natural issue that we have to deal with. There should always be grace-filled conversations that take place as individuals seek to understand the point of view of one another. If you cannot agree, it can be done in a loving manner that will please God. The attitude in which we handle these types of situations will potentially affect future ministry opportunities. The love and respect that Paul and Barnabas had for one another never diminished, despite the fact that they disagreed. We see so many instances later on in Scripture that they still clearly loved and respected one another. They didn't say, you know, hey, we disagreed about this, so I don't want to talk to you anymore. They didn't say, you know, if I'm walking through the marketplace and I see you, I'm going to avoid you. Have you ever had that kind of thing happen? Unfortunately, I've had that over the years. People leave the church over a non-doctrinal issue. You see them in the grocery store and they run the other way. That is not becoming of the gospel. That's not the attitude that Paul and Barnabas had. They said, we can disagree, but we still love and we respect each other. So what is your attitude when you disagree with another believer? Let's close with prayer. Lord, we do thank you and praise you for your wonderful love for us. Lord, we thank you for just what we've learned through this passage. Lord, we understand that there's times we disagree over things. Lord, we ask that you would help us to have an attitude and a spirit in which we love one another no matter what. Lord, we thank you that we can be united around the gospel. And Lord, we thank you that other things are just not as important and we can defer because of we love you and we love one another. Lord, we thank you for what you'll do as you work your word into our hearts. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.